All right, so over the last couple of weeks, let's just do a quick summary for the folks that have not been here on holiday and everything. We've been looking at the spiritual gifts. One of the reasons why I've been wanting to do this is because I've been wanting to encourage us as a church not to be ignorant of what the spiritual gifts are. And I believe that God wants for us to be moving in the spiritual gifts more than we are. Spiritual gifts were given to the church to build it up. If the church is going to be built up, we need the spiritual gifts, and we shouldn't ignore them. And another reason why I'm preaching about the spiritual gifts is because we can come to a Pentecostal church for donkeys, you know what I mean by that expression, for a long time, and we never hear any teaching on the spiritual gifts, because everybody assumes that because you come to even Pentecostal church, you know what it means to be Pentecostal, and you know all about the spiritual gifts. But the truth is that year after year can pass, and no one has ever given any teaching, no one has ever reminded you of what the spiritual gifts are about. So it's a useful reminder for some of us, it's an introduction to others of us, and it's an encouragement, hopefully, for all of us. So that's where we're at. So we've looked at the word of wisdom, we've looked at the word of knowledge, we've looked at the gift of distinguishing between spirits, the discernment of spirits, and last week we looked at prophecy. And one of the things that was very useful that I thought was said on one of the home group meetings, I can't remember which one it was now, but a lot of these gifts don't act independently of one another. A lot of the gifts act in tandem. So it's almost as if you could say, well, the gift of knowledge works with the gift of wisdom, and sometimes we need another gift in operation to know how to put that into operation, and we need the prophetic word to kickstart us. And so we might well be getting a lot of the gifts in operation at once, but just for clarity purposes, I guess I'm having to go through the teaching one by one. But I don't want you to see that just one of these gifts would be in operation in one time. Sometimes a handful of gifts are given at any one moment because a handful are needed. When I explain tonight the gift of tongues, you'll appreciate what I'm saying, or I'll try to elaborate as I go further what I mean by that. So let's remind ourselves of the scripture, and we'll start on our message tonight, which is the gift of speaking in tongues and of interpretation. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he will. And there are a number of things that we need to say as we begin to talk about the gift of speaking in tongues. So here are some dangers to avoid. Number one, the danger to avoid is that to declare that unless you can speak in tongues, you're not a proper Christian. You ever heard that? Perhaps if you've got Alex nodding his head, you know that you can't speak in tongues, therefore you are not a proper Christian. Somehow a second class Christian, perhaps. The implications sometimes that people feel from that kind of statement. The second danger to avoid is that perhaps that unless you speak in tongues, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, here's a contentious one, because you might say that Assemblies of God, and Eden particularly, have sort of said that speaking in tongues is a mark of being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, we can sort of say that speaking in tongues is, yes, that's that confirmation that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And I would not be so dogmatic in the sense of the fact that if you were prophesying, and if you were going around healing the sick and you were raising the dead and you were doing all kinds of miracles, And I'd say you were filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you weren't speaking in tongues, I would say, well, if you can go around and heal people and you can do all the other gifts, but because you can't speak in tongues, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. So I wouldn't be so dogmatic. But I would go as far as to say that I believe that God wants us to have this gift. And I'll explain a little bit more about that later. And I think I'd go as far as saying is that we should not cross this gift off the list of those things that God wants for us to have. And because I've often heard people saying, well, I don't believe that God wants me to speak in tongues. Well, actually, it's God who decides, not you. And I believe that the weight is on God's side, that the evidence is there, that this is a gift that God wants to be used and manifest in the church and in the private setting. Okay, so danger to avoid, that unless you're a Christian, you're not a Christian unless you can speak in tongues, or unless you can speak in tongues, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Another danger to avoid is not to let anybody go home until the pastor's prayed for them to speak in tongues. You ever been to one of those meetings where the pastor said, okay, before you go home, everybody in this room is going to speak in tongues and you're all going to line up here and the pastor's going to pray for you and he's going to say, right now you speak in tongues and unless you do, you're not going out. Well, not quite like that. A bit of an exaggeration, a bit of hyperbole there, Liz, but you know what I mean. There is that. That, I believe, it can be quite off-putting. My own experience, I don't know whether I think I've shared this a lot with some of you, at least in the past, is that when I was about 13 or 14 years old, younger than Joshua, my family were on a family holiday in Somerset. We went to visit this church, and it was a charismatic church, and afterwards there was a Sunday meal that the church had, and in between the meal being served and the service finishing, one of the elders came up to us as a family and said, "Are you born again?" And of course we went around that question, "Yes, we're born again." And then he says, "Are you filled with the Spirit?" "Yes, we are." And then he said, "Can you speak in tongues?" And he went round like this with all our families. And of course I said, "No, I can't speak in tongues." And he said, "Come with me." And this elder took me off into a small room at the back and said, "Right now I'm going to pray for you and you're going to speak in tongues." Well, lad that I was at the time, was terrified. I can relive that moment right now. I can picture it quite, it's so strong in my mind. And terrified me. I just sort of made something up so that I could come out again and feel that relief. But that put me off. Made me very wary of elders. Made me very wary of anybody in authority, because I thought the minute I opened my mouth, they were going to say, come with me, I'm going to pray for you and put it right. And that, in my own experience, put me off and kept me away from church for a number of years, to be honest with you, and stopped me in my progress with the Lord. So I don't want to be intimidating towards anybody, you know. But on the other hand, I do want to encourage you into everything that God has for you. All right? There's a difference between encouraging you and into everything that God has for you, instead of saying, right, okay, you're not going home until you've got it. Okay, so that's another danger to avoid. Another danger to avoid is to declare that tongues don't matter. The gift of tongues is irrelevant. That it's not for the church today. So that's another danger to avoid. Another danger to avoid is that to forget what Paul and Bible says. Paul and the Bible says about this gift. Lester Summerall said this: "There is no gift in the entire world that receives such an explosive reaction as the gift of tongues. Because the devil is afraid of it, he gets everybody fighting over it. If tongues did not cause him trouble, he would ignore it. But speaking in tongues is dynamic and powerful." So, you know, there are people in this room who could probably tell you about arguments that have been had over the years about speaking in tongues. Churches have divided down the middle, split down the middle, half the congregation has gone one way and half the congregation has gone the other way. What has the argument been over? What has the division been over? Speaking in tongues. And why is there so much argument? Well, Lester Sumner is saying it's because the devil is putting a spanner in the works because he knows that this gift is powerful. Well, if that's the case, then we need to sort of lift it up and think about how this gift can be used in our own situation. Okay, so what is the gift of tongues? The Holy Spirit inspired speech in a language unknown to the speaker. The New English Bible says that it's tongues of ecstasy. But ecstasy gives the word that it's a load of babble, out of control kind of stuff. It is not that. It is inspired speech in a language unknown to the speaker. It is the ability to speak to God in a language the speaker has not learned and does not understand. NIV, if you read the NIV margin, it says the gift of languages. Each one heard them speaking in his own language. A language with words and phrases, with grammar and syntax. Nicky Gumbel, the writer of the Alpha Course, I think he has it in one of his Alpha books. I'm just smiling for a moment because I heard a joke about Nicky Gumbel. What do you call Nicky Gumbel when he's miserable?
No idea.
Nicky Grumble. and better cut that out. Hey?
That wasn't one of mine.
He says in one of his Alpha books, I believe, that he was speaking in tongues. He was praying in tongues, and he was speaking next to somebody who was Russian. And they said to him, "Do you speak Russian?" And they said, "No." "Well, you were just speaking in Russian just a moment ago." "Yeah, was I? I didn't realize, you know, it was the Holy Spirit language that God was giving me at that particular time. What was I saying?" says Nicky Gumbel. He said, "You've been praying the same thing over and over again, my dear child. My dear child." So, that's Nicky Gumbel. Point is, I'm saying, is that sometimes the Holy Spirit can be a language that can be identified. I remember as I grew up as a child in the church that I grew up, there was again somebody who was speaking in tongues, and there was somebody from the Far East who identified that language as being their mother tongue. So the gift of tongues can be a specific language that we recognize, that can be understood by other people, but not always a language that can be identified. The Corinthian church didn't understand. 1 Corinthians 13:1, if I speak in tongues and of angels, and in a minute we'll talk about having to interpret the tongue because people there wouldn't understand it. So sometimes it can be identified as a language, sometimes it can't be. One of the things that people say to me is that when I speak in tongues, when I open my mouth out, or whenever I attempt to speak in tongues, whenever I believe that God is giving me a language, I just speak a load of nonsense that doesn't even sound like a language. Well, there are two things that I would say to you there. First of all, that when you learn a new language, the language is not always articulate. So when a baby begins to learn to speak, instead of saying mummy, mummy, they might say mama, mama. So sometimes the gift will evolve, it will develop. The language will, as you speak it more and more, will become more clearer with a definite sort of syntax, if you like, a definite rhythm, rather than just a few sort of goo goo, mama mama, all right, kind of expressions. But then also, might I say, that a boo boo, mama mama, still might be a language. There was somebody that I heard, I think it might have been Andrew Womack, I think, may have given this illustration, that he was spoken to by somebody, and they said, "I don't believe that I'm speaking in tongues. This language that I believe that God has given me isn't speaking in tongues. It's just a load of rubbish. All I'm saying is ooh, 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 ooh." And it's just one repetition of one syllable in a different in a different kind of way. And apparently, there was a language expert amongst the conference, and the language expert stood up and he said, "Excuse me," he says, "actually, there is a tribe in deepest Africa, let's just say for deepest Africa, for example's sake, it could have been anywhere in the world, and their language is just the inclination of one syllable." So you can... They said the same thing, but saying the same thing in a different way meant different things. So, meant I love you, meant danger, you know, and meant I'm hungry. And are we serious? What I'm trying to encourage you with is that sometimes you might, God might give you something that you speak out, and you might say to yourself, "This is silly, I feel an idiot here." Well, remember that babies don't speak articulately straight away, but also remember that some places in the world just have one syllable that is expressed in different ways to mean something. Let's cut that out. We'll take as well. All right. There are two main dimensions to this gift. There is the public gift and there is the private gift. So let's first look at the public gift. If anyone speaks in a tongue or two, the most three should speak one at a time and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and God. So what would happen here, the gift here in operation, is here we are in the church setting and God would give you a message in a tongue. You'd speak it out. And Paul is saying, well, if that's the case, well then two or three should speak and then there should be an interpretation. We need to know what God is speaking. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, "For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with the Spirit." 1 Corinthians 14:18, "In the church, I would rather you speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue." In other words, what Paul is saying, if there's no interpretation, it does nothing for the church. So, the gift of the public gift of tongues would be very much similar to the way that the gift of prophecy works. There would be a message from God. In prophecy, you hear it in English, so the message comes and you speak it out. A message in tongues, you speak it out, but the language that you speak out your mouth, you don't understand. But then Paul says, well, if no one else in the congregation understands what it's all about, well, then it's a load of nonsense. We it does nothing for the church. It doesn't build it up. Prophecy edifies, exhorts, and comforts. But unless the church has the interpretation, the gift of the interpretation, someone in the congregation has the gift of interpretation, then that gift is not beneficial to the church. 1 Corinthians 14:5 says this, "I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so that the church might be edified." So again, saying that the gift of tongues is very similar to the gift of prophecy. So then you have this question that you're probably thinking in your mind. If God wants to speak to us, why doesn't he just give somebody a prophetic word in English? And it saves the trouble of having a prophetic word which is in tongues that needs to be interpreted. Why do we have to go through that, the word rigmarole is not perhaps the best word to use, but why do we have to go through that sequence? What is the benefit of going through that sequence? Why would God want to use that sequence? Surely it's far more easier for God to speak a prophetic word to somebody in English and they speak it out straight away, edify, exhort and comfort, instead of somebody having a word from God speaking a language that they don't know to the church and then having somebody else interpret it, which is edification, exhortation and comfort. Why? Well, Paul gives us the answer. 1 Corinthians 14:22. Tongues then are not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for believers, not for unbelievers. Now, a prophetic word in the congregation, get blown away by that. You know, tonight we're encouraged, we're built up by that. Now, what Paul is saying is that when there are visitors in the church, when there are unbelievers in the church, when you have a message in tongues, that is more a powerful witness of the supernatural to them than just a direct word of prophecy. So he's saying that tongues are for the benefit, the public gift of tongues are primarily for the benefit of unbelievers in the church. Which might answer the question that you next have, that is, why is it that in the congregation today, in the church today, we do not have the public gift of tongues in operation? So we have the gift of prophecy in operation. We don't see much of the gift of tongues, of interpretation of tongues and interpretation of tongues. Now, the last time I heard a message in tongues and its interpretation would have been getting on 15 years ago. I'm looking at John and Val because the person that gave it was Renee Smith, and she's been dead a long time, all right? I'm looking at John and Val now, so I'm just going to say to John and Val, in the Huddersfield Church, do you ever experience a gift of tongues and interpretation today? Have you heard anything lately?
No.
Rarely. Rarely. I'm going to look at these ladies here in this corner from the Ealing Church in Neath who have experience of another Ealing Church and just say to them, back in Neath, did you have the gift
yes.
of... Yes, so you did.
Yes.
The tongues and interpretation.
Yes.
Tongues
died out a lot.
Died out a lot.
Yes.
Died out a lot now.
Yeah, but in Cardiff it's died out a lot.
In Cardiff it's
yes,
died out a lot.
Yes, because we used to have it regularly.
You had it regularly?
Yes, tongues and interpretation every week.
Every
And we were taught that it had to be used every day in our prayer time
yes.
as well.
Going to get onto that in a minute, yeah.
It builds you up in the Word of God.
Yes, that's right, yes. So the public gift of tongues was encouraged every week in the church in Cardiff, all right? Died out so much now. Off the top of my head then, okay, because these are not in my notes. We might discuss this a bit more in house groups or whatever. Why is that? Why is the gift of tongues not encouraged like it has been? I think there are a number of factors. Number one, we've just said that the primary use of this gift is for the benefit of the unbelievers in the congregation. Well, where are the unbelievers in the congregation here tonight? I think if there were more unbelievers, maybe, you know, God would want to use that gift to demonstrate his supernatural power and be a supernatural witness and convince the unbeliever. All right? Maybe that's one reason. Maybe another reason is because, dare I say, the gift was abused a little bit. Because other people in the congregation might be able to tell you that they have been in congregations where at 11:05 every Sunday morning, Mrs. or Mr. would come out with the tongue and with the interpretation, and you could almost set your watch by it. And therefore, because of that, there has been a sort of I don't know whether the right word is frowning upon, but a lack of the gift of tongues, the public gift of tongues, lacks credibility. And maybe it's time to allow God to restore that. But first we need to get the unbelievers in. Because I think that's key. talk about that more in home groups, and you know, it'd be lovely to talk to Jean here and the group from Wales, because they have a lot more Pentecostal experience than I have. Okay, the public gift. It's an interpretation, not a translation. So what would happen is that somebody is given a gift of tongues, and they speak it out, it's there, and then there's an interpretation. And the way that it used to work, certainly at the Huddersfield Church, is that if the person speaking out the tongue, unless they knew that they could interpret it themselves, unless they knew that there was somebody in the congregation who had been used in the gift of interpretation in the past, they were to remain silent. So interpretation is key. So it's an interpretation, not a translation. It's not a word-for-word translation. It's the gist of what is said. And again, does it strengthen and encourage and comfort? Is it in line with Scripture? Does it glorify Jesus? Does it draw someone to or push them away from God? Okay, so there's those weighing measures that we use in the gift of prophecy. As a church, for us, I think I'm happy that we nurture the gift of prophecy first. Then as we get the unbelievers in, let's start to nurture the gift of tongues, the public gift of tongues and the interpretation of that. As a pastor, that's what I'm thinking that as a church that we need to do. Nurture the prophecy, and then let's get the unbelievers in, and let's see what God will do amongst us. I believe there are people here that have been used in the past speaking a message in tongues. Other people here that have been used for interpreting that tongue. So I believe it's a gift that we should have and encourage amongst us. Okay, so that's the public gift. But I said earlier that there are two dimensions to this gift. There is the public gift, there is the private gift. So what is the private gift? It's speaking in tongues on your own. Not in the congregational setting, but privately in your own quiet time. In your own walking along the street. When you're in the cafe, as often as I am, I'll speak in tongues. If you're doing anything in the garden, you might be speaking in tongues. Praying in tongues. So what is its value? What is the private gift value? Number one, it opens up a new dimension of prayer. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. So you're speaking to God. No one understands him, but he utters the mysteries with his spirit. Romans 8:26 gives us a bit of elaboration. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, we do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans and words that cannot express. In other words, how many people have that experience where they have a situation before them? I don't know how to pray. Good gracious me. Whatever do we pray? Sometimes when people come forward here for prayer and I don't know how to pray or what to pray. They might say something and have on the surface something that they've presented that they want to pray. I don't know what to pray. So you ask the Holy Spirit to pray through you. You allow the Holy Spirit to pray through you. You allow the Holy Spirit to give you those words that are words of prayer to God, but are words of prayer that hit the nail on the head, because they are the words that God has given you, the Holy Spirit has given you. So when the Holy Spirit gives you the words to pray, you know that you're praying the right thing. And if you're praying the right thing, well, hallelujah. Jackie Pullinger says this, by the clock, Jackie Pullinger worked amongst the drug addicts in Hong Kong. By the clock, I prayed for 15 minutes a day in the language of the Spirit. And after about 6 weeks of this, I began to lead people to Jesus. Gangsters fell to their knees, sobbing in the streets. Women were healed. Heroin addicts were set free. And I knew that it had nothing to do with me. Prayer. It helps us in our prayer. It cuts through those things that are opposing us. It cuts through the strongholds of the enemy. It cuts through the principalities and powers. It hits the nail on our head. It hits the nail on the head when it comes to prayer. If you don't know what to pray, how to pray, ask the Holy Spirit to give you the language to pray. So it opens up a new dimension of prayer. It opens up a new dimension of praise. For they heard them speaking in tongues, praising God. How many words can you find to praise God? Apparently the average fella, average man, average woman has 5,000 words in vocabulary. That doesn't sound very many, does it? Winston Churchill had 15,000 words in vocabulary. That doesn't sound that easy, does it? But how is it, you know, sometimes we come to that point where we can't find the words to praise God because our own language has run out. Our own praise, we glorify you, Lord, we lift you high, and we find ourselves saying the same words again, perhaps, which is not a bad thing, but then the Holy Spirit would give you extra words that praise God as well. So it's an extra dimension to help you pray. It builds you spiritually. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says this: he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So speaking in tongues will build us up. It will spiritually build us up. Jude 20 says this: but you, dear friends, build yourselves up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. David Watson said the gift primarily is for spiritual refreshment. So how does this build you spiritually? And I'm done then. When you speak in tongues, what you're doing, you are praising God and bringing God into the situation. Because the Holy Spirit is coming out of your mouth. The words the Holy Spirit is giving you is coming out of your mouth. You're bringing the Holy Spirit into the situation. You're bringing God into your presence, into the situation. You bring peace and joy, leaving no room for the enemy. You see, when you speak in tongues and you speak in that language that God has given you, there is joy that comes into your heart, a peace that comes into your heart. You're praying for what is needed in your situation. You are becoming sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So again, another use of praying in the Holy Spirit is that you can ask God for wisdom. Maybe God, you're saying to God, give me wisdom, Lord. And you pray in tongues. And then you ask God for the interpretation of that which is that you've spoken. And that interpretation can often be a word of wisdom, which is to you. A word of knowledge, which is to you, that unlocks the situation. And when you speak in tongues and the Holy Spirit's presence is very close to you, you become more acutely sensitive to the Holy Spirit. There's a great deal more to say on this subject. But I realise the time has gone, and perhaps we'll elaborate more at home groups and talk about it more. What Paul says: I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. 1 Corinthians 14:5 says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. This is what Paul says. This is what the Bible says. And as a pastor, I would say to you, I would like all of you to speak in tongues. Biblical. Do not forbid speaking in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says this: follow the way of love and eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. I'm going to end with one question to you all. Do you want the Holy Spirit to help you with your prayer? Do you want the Holy Spirit to help you with your praise? Do you want the Holy Spirit to make you more sensitive to his leading? Do you want the Holy Spirit to build you up and make you strong in God? Well, if that's the case, ask God to give you that gift. God won't give you something that you don't want. I'm not going to push you, but I'm just going to encourage you to eagerly desire something good that God wants to give you, to sharpen your prayer life, to sharpen your prayers, to build you up spiritually, so that you can be strong in him. Pray with expectancy and open your mouth.
Well, I feel stupid.
I feel silly. Let me encourage you to do what I did. What I did, I went into the middle of a field where nobody could hear me, nobody could see me, and I just sort of opened my mouth and I went, oh. I just kept going and I thought, dear me, all I'm doing is just repeating one syllable all the time. This is nothing. But the more I did it, then God gave me something else that added. And then after that, God gave me something else. So I want to encourage you just to relax. Spend some time with God in the middle of nowhere where nobody can hear you. Maybe in your own private room where everybody else has gone out. And say, Lord, I'm ready to receive everything that you want to give me. Amen. Father, give us wisdom to know how to receive your gifts, how to use your gifts, how to encourage the gifts in our own lives. Because, Lord, we know that we're not experiencing you as much as we should be. We ain't seen nothing yet. And you've got so much more for us. So help us to enter in to everything that you have for us. In Jesus' name. Amen.